Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you bait a president and make it worth your while? Well, you take a household name brand, align that brand with opposition to his pet peeve, and then you find a worthy adversary to be the face of a marketing campaign.
Athletic shoe giant Nike is running straight into a political controversy.
Controversial former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick has been chosen as one of the faces of a new Nike
campaign.
He's
one of the most polarizing forces in football. Now, he's the face of Nike's 30th anniversary Just Do It campaign.
Nike has been selling shoes for a while now, and they're pretty good at it. So when they chose Labor Day to roll out a new campaign featuring quarterback Colin Kaepernick, best known for kneeling during the national anthem in protest of police brutality, you had to think they knew what they were doing. Their launch poster is simple and striking. A black and white close-up of Kaepernick's face and the line, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything." Nike wants a reaction, and they got one. People opposed to Kaepernick's cause are burning sneakers and ripping up socks. Is the company prepared for the backlash of right-wing America? A group that's been known to harass their opponents into oblivion? Assuming that answer is yes, then maybe we've finally reached the point where planting your company's brand on one side of a political divide is better business than trying to appeal to everyone. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story.
In general, boycotts tend to get a lot more press than the actual impact that they have.
David Silberman is a professor of marketing at U of T's Rotman School of Management. Honestly, when we called him up, he couldn't wait to talk about it. This is the kind of thing that marketers live for. So, David, what did you think when you first saw the Kaepernick ad?
I've not seen any ad with him actually speaking or with audio, but I believe that it's actually quite provocative and an interesting new approach that Nike is taking to promote its products.
As far as I know, it's just the still right now, but you have to believe a campaign is coming.
Exactly. That's what I think. So, I mean, when you've announced that somebody is going to be your spokesperson and that you're building a campaign around that person, probably one print ad is probably sort of the tip of the iceberg. There's going to be probably a lot more that we'll see.
But just one print ad has already sparked a whole lot of stuff. You have people burning Nike shoes, people, you know, basically dividing themselves up into camps like we tend to see around this stuff. What's Nike doing here?
Well, I think the thing to remember is that one of the biggest challenges as a marketer is to get noticed and to get people talking about you. And a lot of people would say that that's the number one thing. And clearly here, Nike is getting a lot of attention, a lot of mentions. It's being talked on all the major networks in the U.S. now. This is a really, really big story. So for Nike, this is basically all of the stuff that is being discussed in the media is in a way free publicity and free brand mentions. That's, of course, with the caveat that you're hoping that what's happening is not negative. And I don't really think there's anything negative being said about the product. There's just simply, obviously, a segment in the U.S. that feels pretty strongly that what Kaepernick did in terms of kneeling during the national anthem was not an appropriate thing to do. And for that reason, you're getting that particular segment of the population expressing pretty strong reactions.
What kind of discussions would Nike be having in a boardroom ahead of a decision like this? How crucial are those, and what kind of decisions get made there?
Well, I think what's happening is you can clearly see that the U.S. is becoming a lot more polarized around these issues than it was before. There's a lot less overlap between what sort of the right and the left believe to be important in the U.S. than there was before. And for that reason, it's a pretty good way of sort of getting a lot of notoriety. At the same time, from the perspective of Nike, you can also see that within the U.S. right now, there's clearly a majority of people are aligned with Kaepernick versus against him. This is just, you know, if you simply look at approval ratings, if you look at you know, presidential approval ratings, for example. Right now, there seems to be a majority of the people in the U.S. that empathize with movements like Black Lives Matter, et cetera, and are really uncomfortable with a lot of the discourse that is occurring right now. And so for that reason, maybe for a majority of people, this is actually quite popular. That's one thing. A second thing is Nike is a global company. And I think on a global basis, this is a campaign that's going to get a lot of support and interest in the rest of the world. I mean, we're focusing right now on the U.S. reaction, but I think globally there's going to be a lot of support for this. And then a third point, too, is that a number of Nike's most important spokespeople, namely Serena Williams and LeBron James, they're spokespeople for Nike, but they've also spoken strongly in support of Kaepernick. So you're getting synergy going on between the actual spokespeople that Nike has and their new campaign. And that's good in marketing when you can get synergy between what you're already doing and what you're planning to do now.
One of the reasons that I wanted to talk to somebody like yourself in particular is because I'm fascinated by the way all advertising kind of seems to be shifting. You know, even with Nike, we remember back when Michael Jordan was the face of Nike and he famously said, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too. And now it seems like brands, rather than sort of staring as far away as they could, brands are really leaning into the causes that they believe in, or at least the causes that they think enough people believe in to make them money. How did that happen? When did that change?
Well, I'm not so sure I'm going to agree with you. I think that a lot depends on the category and the type of product you're talking about. So, first of all, I think when you're talking about a product where image is very important, you will see spokespeople and possibly positions being relatively important. That's the first point. The second thing is there's a whole category of products that we would call badge products, and these are products that people wear to say something about themselves. And for people like that, this is actually quite important. And when you have a product that people wear to make a statement to others, when you can associate things other than, for example, high quality or performance with it, but other things, this gives you a lot of leverage. Companies like Nike now, I mean, traditionally, sporting goods companies, but running shoes, sporting gear, this is equipment now that is not just used in the sort of sporting domain, but it's their stuff. They're a major apparel company. People wearing casual wear are wearing Nike all over the place, not just for sports. And, you know, they're a major fashion item. They are, in many ways, the ultimate badge product. So now when you start talking about badge products and people wanting to say things about themselves, this becomes extremely important. So you put all of those things together, you do have categories where this is becoming important, especially when the products themselves, from a functional point of view, are quite similar. You know, you can go to many other categories where the functionality of the product is critical, and you're not necessarily going to see this.
How much of boycotts of particular brands over things like this, how much damage do they actually do?
It's an interesting question. I think in general, boycotts tend to get a lot more press than the actual impact that they have. People generally that are buying the product before tend to buy the product after. And this is because companies tend to implement marketing strategies that will appeal to their existing users as well as to potential new users. And so oftentimes the boycott is carried out by people who wouldn't have bought the product anyway. And for that reason, many of them fail.
Do you think they're taking a risk?
Good marketing always involves a risk. So the answer is yes. One of the things that you need to do in marketing, and I know it's a word that we don't like to use very much when we start talking about politics, but you need to discriminate. In order to delight one segment of customers, generally you're going to upset or not please another segment. And successful marketing generally involves delighting one segment. And if you delight one segment, you're going to have their business and their loyalty. But the counterpoint to that is you may turn off a segment of consumers that are currently buying your product. That's the risk. Now, how do you mitigate that risk? You mitigate that risk by doing research and by measuring the impact. And as long as the positive effect with the segments that you're delighting exceeds the negative effect with the segments that aren't on board, then that's a way of reducing the risk. But as I said before, with market research, there's always a risk because it's a sample. And one of the things that occurs with a campaign like this is you get a reaction and you get public statements. And there's always an aspect that you don't control with this sort of thing. But as I said, with the research, you reduce some of that risk, but you never reduce all of it.
Given the political climate in America right now, and like you said, the fact that a majority seem to be on the side of Kaepernick and his right to kneel, is there a case for Nike just doing this, not driven by the underlying shoe sales, but because it's important just for brand awareness? Or is this actually going to sell more shoes and socks?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think the fundamental responsibility of companies is to generate returns for their shareholders. I mean, that's why the managers are in place. Whether companies have a responsibility to support political movements one way or the other is something which can be debated. What I would say, though, and this goes back to my earlier comments, which is this is a badge product. And if you are able to achieve for your product badge-like status to say that I belong to a certain group, this is something which can be an extremely important driver of sales. And as long as the group that wants to wear your product as a badge is big enough, this is something that can be very attractive. And, you know, it's part of doing business. So whether it's, you know, morally right, we get into the issue is Colin Kaepernick right or not? And that's less of a marketing question. That's more of a position of what's your political orientation.
What kind of long-term impact do you think a campaign like this can have? Can it shift the way sneaker or athletic apparel companies market in the future?
Well, I guess on that, I'm a little more skeptical. I think that people are always trying to come up with campaigns that allow them to stand out. And in a marketing context where firms are perhaps using politics as a way of trying to make their products stand out, if that's become what's the norm within a category over a few years, then suddenly coming out with a product-based message or a message that's purely based on the performance of your products can stand out. So a lot of it depends on the context. I think these are trends as opposed to long-term trends. They're things that tend to oscillate back and forth. And depending on timing and depending upon what your competitors are doing, different things can be used to stand out. So right now, this is a way of Nike making a statement and trying to stand out versus other products in its universe that are currently trying to market products in the same categories.
So given the history here of Kaepernick and the NFL and kneeling and the anthem and that becoming a political issue, Nike's doing this to get a reaction. What happens when inevitably the reaction comes from the president?
I'm not sure. It all depends upon whether or not you think a lot of people are going to be swayed by what the president says.
You know he's going to say something.
Well, yes. I mean, he does tend to react on Twitter. I think the really interesting question here is there's going to be a reaction. Whether that reaction will, the only thing it will do is it will sort of amplify the effects that we've already seen, which is those people that are in support of Kaepernick will feel even more strongly, and those people that are really against what he's standing for will feel even more strongly. So to that degree, given that Nike's made a decision to go down this path, any presidential involvement in this is probably going to strengthen whatever forces they identified in sort of trying to understand this strategy. And assuming that the effects are positive, it might actually strengthen the effects that the strategy itself is delivering.
It's like a bear trap that they've set for him.
Well, that's right. I mean, that suggests a very, very clever marketing. But it is true that when you have certain things that you can predict with high probability, you can actually build that into your marketing plans, because one of the most important things as an effective marketer is anticipation. Now, we generally talk about anticipation of what your competitors are doing, but in this particular context, anticipation of what a key protagonist in this particular dispute might do is also important. And President Trump does tend to react to anything which is politically noteworthy and which involves him, even if peripherally.
Right. So you have to figure that Nike has something ready to go kind of after that happens.
Well, that goes to this whole issue of anticipation. And if you have something that you believe and you're going to basically try to use this and go further than simply making this as a statement in support of Kaepernick and his whole issue of, you know, supporting Black Lives Matter and sort of any of the comments or discourse that has somewhat racist overtones right now in the USA, this could sort of metamorphose into an anti-Trump or a Trump protest type brand, and that would actually be interesting. That's going one step further than the way it looks right now, but as you mentioned, that could be where this is headed.
Thank you so much, David.
No problem. It was my pleasure.
David Soberman, marketing professor at the Rotman School of Management at University of Toronto. That was The Big Story. For more from us, you can visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Big Story Podcast. And you can find us on just about any podcast app. And you can subscribe for free, rate, and review us there as well. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. Thank you for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.
I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.